Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Medic Diaries. This is a podcast which basically talks about the medic issues that we face on a day-to-day in a very simplified manner so that we'll be able to understand and also spread the information. Guys, again, very appreciative for you listening to my last episode, which was on contraception. And we are just diving in to go to the next part, like I had said in the last episode, so that we'll be able to continue. And before I say anything else, I just want to let you guys know, Medic Diaries is finally on Apple Podcasts. Woohoo! So if that is where you get your podcast from, head right there, subscribe, and definitely rate and write your comments there so that I can know your feedback from you guys. Also, I would like to apologize about the sound quality. Your girl is still learning, so bear with me, but I'm sure this episode is going to sound really, really good. Okay, so a small recap on what we talked about last episode. In case you haven't listened, stop right now and go listen to it. But we talked about basically more of the female contraceptions and the different types, their side effects, and how to get them. Men, let's talk about your options today. Why don't we? So, I'm going to talk about the male contraceptives. There are a few types, like condoms, vasectomy. Vasectomy is something I'm going to dive in a bit more because there's so many misconceptions about it. So we will talk a bit more about that. There is also the withdrawal method and my personal favorite, the experimental ones, the pills, the implants. And yes, as I had mentioned in the previous episode, condoms come in either female or male versions, and majority there are different types. There is a latex and non-latex. I don't want to talk too much about it because I already did, but it was basically like the advantages were like having it protecting you from STDs and STIs, and how it has an expiration date, like I'd mentioned earlier, and how it could break if you're not careful or even slip. And yes, not much to talk about condoms today. I'm sure you all have heard about vasectomy. If you haven't, it's basically a surgical procedure which involves you having a medical professional cut the vas deferens. Oh. Vas deferens, if you don't know what it is basically a tube which allows the passage of semen and your sperm to then pass through the penis when you're doing your nasty to basically have ejaculation going on. Okay, so the procedure involves cutting that and then sealing it off so that you don't pass sperm into the semen. So this procedure is a day case procedure, and what I mean by that is you come in, they do the procedure, and then you go back home that very same day. How it's done, it basically involves having local anesthesia being placed around the scrotum or the sac, that is, and then they finally just do a bit of cutting so that they can cut the vas deferens. There isn't any sleeping or general anesthesia which is required here. I know people usually when they hear surgery, they freak out. Oh my God, am I gonna go to sleep and all that? No, that's why it's called a day case. What are the indications for this? I always say it's a man's choice. The reason behind him wanting to do this is completely up to him, and the situations that he's in is completely up to him. Let's talk about the advantages and disadvantages of this procedure. Advantages, it's very cheap, and the other thing is it's a day case, like I had mentioned earlier, so it's not some huge thing which will break the bank for. Okay, disadvantages, however, there might be a bit of pain because you have to understand we are doing some minor surgery, so there will be a bit of pain, a bit of discomfort, maybe some swelling as well. And the other thing is you still have to wear a condom to prevent you from getting STIs. So a vasectomy does not prevent you or protect you from having STIs automatically. I was having a conversation with a male friend a few years back, and it was about vasectomies, and he basically was like, you know what, Yvonne, I'll never do that. It just takes all my manlyhood away. Why would I be shooting blanks? Like, it's a taboo. And granted, this is an African man. I don't know how Caucasian men will take this because I have not had a conversation with them. But this takes me to us talking about the myths and the misconceptions about vasectomy. So myth number one, the male loses the ability for ejaculation. People, that is not true. Okay? I had explained earlier that it's just cutting the tube, for lack of a better word, which transports the sperm to the semen. Let's view it this way. Semen is like an energy juice for the sperms to swim. So what you're basically doing is you are ejaculating semen, just not sperm. There's no sperm in it. It doesn't stop the process of you ejaculating, and I feel like that is maybe correlating to someone's manlyhood. I don't know, but you need to understand that bit. Myth number two, I can't have an orgasm after a vasectomy. People, there is no correlation between an orgasm and a vasectomy. Orgasm comes about due to physical touch, okay, and physical stimulus. So if you are into the whole action that you're doing at that moment, if you're being touched the right way, if you're touching the woman the right way, you should be able to get aroused easily and have your climax. No problem there in terms of vasectomy, okay? Myth number three, I will have a low libido or my libido will completely go. This also kind of ties down to the orgasm, into the sense that libido is usually controlled by a hormonal aspect and also like the physical stimulus. So if you are not having those stimulus, then probably your libido could be low, but vasectomy will not cause your libido to go down. No. Myth number four, it can fail. Okay, so this is a gray area here. Majority, it is actually a permanent form of contraception, but there's nothing which is 100%. And what I mean by that is, in very, very rare cases, the tube can regrow. Very rare cases. But if it does regrow, it's super tiny, so there's very little sperm which is actually passing through. So in a way, you're still kind of shooting blanks because you need at least about 20 million sperms per ml for you to be able to cause a fertilization. So you'll be shooting much less than the 20 million, okay? And then finally, myth number five, I'll be less of a man if I have a vasectomy. Okay. I always like to describe this or like explain this to people. A vasectomy is, just flow with me, okay? You have a house, a brand new house, fully functional, impeccable, and beautiful. And with time, you figure, you know what, I'm not using one of the taps, maybe like the guest room taps. So I'm going to close it. The house is still okay. Yes? No problems there. try and relate that to a vasectomy. You are fine as a man. No one is ever going to take that away from you. You just have decided that, and you're actually being really responsible, so you should be applauded for this, that you don't want to have kids or you don't want to have more kids or whatever it is that brought up this whole decision. So try and view it that way. You don't lose your manlyhood in any way whatsoever, honestly. So with any procedure or any contraception, as we haven't seen, there are side effects to it. Okay, so mind you, this is a minor surgery, so there will be some few side effects, and one of them is usually bleeding, mild bleeding from like the site which was cut. There could be blood in the semen. Remember the energy juice? Okay, yeah. So there could be a bit of blood in the semen. There could be a bit of swelling of the scrotum as well, and just a bit of discomfort. And for some reason, if you do not take care of that area and your personal hygiene isn't at par, you could have a bit of infection. Even if your hygiene is impeccable, you are still prone to infections. There's something called normal flora, like there's bacteria on your skin usually all the time, and those can just get an infection going. So don't freak out too much when you have these. The good side is, or the good thing is, there are solutions to it. Majority of this stuff are self-limiting, meaning they will stop by themselves. The swelling usually goes down with time, so does the pain. You'll probably be given some antibiotics and all, so it's nothing major for you to freak out about, okay? So now that we're done with vasectomy and you're a bit more conversant with it, let's dive into the next contraception. I'm sure you've all heard of this, or you've tried it at some point, or your partner has told you to do this. The next contraceptive is the withdrawal method. If you want to learn a little bit of Latin, it's called coitus interruptus. Coitus meaning sex, interruptus meaning interruption. Like, yeah. So what is it? It basically is someone, the male removing the penis before an ejaculation. So this method requires an agreement between the couple. Like, we need to just agree that, okay, when we're doing our nasty, when you feel like you're just about to, you know, then please pull out, okay? It is deemed as a very ineffective manner of contraception, but don't frown upon it because it seems to work for some people. It's just that a study was noted that about 22 people out of 100 people who use this method will get pregnant. So meaning about 25% of people who use this method one way or the other will get pregnant. The advantage here is you do have some sort of control here. It gives you the avenue to practice a lot of self-control, in my opinion. The disadvantage, however, is you're still exposed to STIs. The male could be too much into the action and actually forget to remove the penis. It happens. If you're in it, you're in it. And then the other thing is it just has a higher rate of pregnancy compared to the other forms of contraception, be it being female or male contraceptives. So again, I say just have an agreement on how exactly you want to deal with this if you're going to use this method, so that it does not backfire on you. Okay? Alright, now let's talk about the ones I'm really excited about, the experimental contraceptives, or male contraceptives for that matter. I use the word experimental because they are still in the experimental phase. Let me give you a rough idea of what I'm talking about. Clinical trials or clinical studies of a drug have to go through a few phases. So there's the animal phase, there's the human phase, and then there is the authority approval, such as FDA. And then there's finally the distribution of the drug. So in regards to the ones I'm going to mention, they have finished, some of them are through with the animal phase, like the animal testing, and then others have just successfully finished the human testing, like they've used it on some people and they saw the results and all that. So now they have to do a few more tweaking and whatever before the authorities now approve of them. Okay, so an example of this is the contraceptive pill. It's a hormonal pill which is taken daily, and it has passed successfully the human trial phase. That was about April 2019. So it has a lot of promise. It has so much promise. And another one is an implant which is inserted for about a year. I don't know where exactly it's inserted. I'm assuming it's in the arm, just like the women. And then finally, there's an injection. I don't have a lot of details about the last two because those are still being tested out. But I do know the pill is the one where they are making a lot of progress in. I'm sure there are other forms which are in the works, but these are the ones which have a bit of buzz going on. So how they work? It's basically a hormonal influence again. So it lowers the level of testosterone. Testosterone is what leads for the production of sperm. So if you lower the levels, obviously, then there is a lower level of sperms which are produced. And like I said, you need about 20 million. So if you have less than 20 million, the chances of you actually getting someone pregnant may be a bit lower. Not that it can't, but it's just a bit lower. Let's talk about the advantages and disadvantages of this. I think the major advantage here is it's reversible, number one. It seems to have a really high level of effectivity, so kudos to us. And then one thing is more options for males, so they're not stuck to just the condoms and all. The disadvantages, however, is we don't know the costs of this thing. We really do not know the cost, and they are hormonal in nature. Some side effects that were noticed were a bit of reduced libido and some mood changes, a mild fatigue, and mild acne. This was not for everyone, but these were some of the effects that they noted. So you could put this under the disadvantages, I guess. But again, still so much promise here. So I'm quite excited about it. So those are some of the options we have for males. I hope you've learned something. And I want us to now dive into the very last bit of the podcast. So you use your contraceptives, but somehow they failed. What do you do next? This leads me to the emergency contraception. I wanted this to be the very last bit because it's not something which is used regularly. Okay, so let's dive right in. So what is emergency contraception? It is a form of birth control which is used by women after unprotected sex or if their form of birth control fails. Different indications for when you use it. Let's not forget, guys, cases such as rape, you need emergency contraception, okay? And if for some reason the condom breaks or it slips off during sex, if someone has missed more than two pills of their monthly pills, then that also requires you to have emergency contraception. There are different types of emergency contraception. There is the hormonal pill, which you can get over the counter. Examples are My Way, Plan B, Take Action, and these are pretty normal. Like you just go to the pharmacy or you can go to the doctor and get those, or even like a women's health center and get those. Okay. The ones I've mentioned above work at a window of 72 hours. So 72 hours after the sex, it's still viable to work. Not more than that. There are another type called the non-hormonal pills. An example is Ella. and these work with a window of 120 hours. So the hormonal pills, basically 3 days, and then non-hormonal pills, basically 5 days. That's the window you have. So try to get it as soon as possible though, but if for some reason you don't have access to it immediately, then that is the window period you have to go get the medication and take. It is usually just a one pill, one dose situation, or you may have two pills, but usually majority of the time it's a one pill that you're given and you take. So in case you've been sleeping out through the whole podcast, please wake up. I need you to listen to this bit. There are some people who are not meant to be taking emergency pills because these are very high doses of hormones going on here. So people who have chronic blood issues or clotting should not have this, like a history of blood clots should not have this. People who have severe liver diseases should not be taking this. If you are pregnant and like you've actually confirmed it, please don't go take this. You're actually just going to spoil things altogether. And also, it's been noted that people who are breastfeeding, some of the hormones like the estrogen will pass through your breast milk to the kid. So it's not advisable for you to be breastfeeding and taking the emergency contraceptives. So what are the side effects? There's usually nausea, abdominal pain, fatigue, headaches, irregularities with your menstrual cycle. And it's good to note this also. The hormonal pills apparently do not work very well. They are not as effective for people who are obese. So if you are obese, then you are advised to go for another option, which will not be the intrauterine devices, which I had mentioned earlier in the previous podcast. So intrauterine devices then are another form of emergency contraception. It should not be disregarded. If the pill isn't working or you have taken the pill, then you can then proceed to go put the device for further long-term protection. Alright, my beautiful people. Thank you for listening to this episode. This basically comes to the conclusion of it. I hope you've learned something and you have been informed, and please don't forget to share. I do want to mention this though, the ultimate undefeatable best way for contraception is abstinence, honestly. So if you don't want to get pregnant, if you don't want the STIs and all that mumbo jumbo, abstain. It would save you a lot of headache. But in case you can't abstain, then you listen and you get your information and such. I want to let you guys know, I'm going to include a link for Planned Parenthood in the description. They really, really give a nice, I don't know what to call it, like a portal almost for you to just pick the most appropriate contraceptives for you. So you would pick this, like, okay, I'm a woman, then they'll give you more options, then you choose. So it keeps leading you and guiding you on what exactly is fit for you. All right, I'm so glad you were able to listen to me and just hang out with me. I'm really, really appreciative. And now let's go into our fun medical fact of the day. Did you know humans share 98.8% of their DNA with chimpanzees? I know. Yeah, so the next time someone decides to insult you by calling you a chimp, take it as a compliment. Y'all are brothers and sisters in DNA. Alright, guys, thank you so much for listening. This episode, I hope you enjoyed it. I'm really, really glad I got to spend time with you again. Don't forget to give me feedback. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to share. I adore you people, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.